Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you all. Thanks so much for those here for the Leadership Day. Thanks so much for taking time out of your Saturday to be here. And as we were praying this morning, we were just really thanking God that you have chosen to take time this morning to be here. And we're just praying it's going to be a blessing for you, and it's going to be really helpful. And it's going to be helpful for all of us as we just continue on this journey of trying to be faithful to whatever God's called us to and to be fruitful. I also want to thank those who are here from Rebuild, the 13 different churches from different states for their youth ministry and trying to implement these things in youth ministry. And what a great opportunity to implement discipleship and mission within young people. And we're so thankful that you guys are here. Last night, the training, and today. And so I'm really excited about being here. I mean, I'm probably not the best thing for me as far as watching a video of myself on a Saturday morning. I don't really like that. But a little embarrassing. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. I can't tell you actually how many pastors have told me how appreciative they are of that video. And when I say many pastors, I'm talking about in the hundreds. It's just been really, really helpful for pastors to think through their own journey and to hear my and Kathy's story. Most of you wouldn't know this, but earlier this week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we had 100 or so pastors and church leaders in this room from 21 different church teams from all over who are being trained and who have signed up to be trained over 2 years from basically every 6 months coming together in a large gathering like this for 3 days and then being coached weekly in between those 6 months for two solid years on what it looks like for us as church leaders and pastors to actually build cultures of mission and discipleship. So on Monday and Tuesday, we had everyone here for those 3 days. I taught the opening session of that time where we had those 100 pastors and leaders here. And I want to read this morning as we begin just a short little excerpt from what I said, and it'll give you a little glimpse into the life of how we're speaking and training these pastors and leaders, because it's relevant for all of us, and you'll begin to connect the dots as I read just a little bit of what I said to all of them on Monday morning. So we come here from different states, different cities, different denominations, different settings, different cultures, and different life stories. But we all have a shared desire to see God's kingdom come. We also have a shared experience that the way the church functions today is not exactly the way God intended it. There's some good things about how the church is moving forward, and there are also some broken things that we have to pay attention to. Most people don't sign up to lead an institutional church or a consumer church. But all of us in the room feel the effects and the vortex that gets us sucked in. All of us feel the effects of getting sucked into ways of leading the church that we didn't sign up for. Anytime we're tempted to measure success based on size and numbers, we're getting sucked in. Anytime we're tempted to try to grow the church or we're trying to grow disciples, we're getting sucked in. Anytime we're tempted to view our identity based on what we're accomplishing or not accomplishing in life and ministry, we're getting sucked in. Anytime we're tempted to operate and function with a view towards self-preservation, we're getting sucked in. One of the reasons why we're here today and this week, these next 3 days together, is because we want to see change. We want to see change in our own lives, and we want to see change in our churches. We don't want to get sucked in. We don't want to get sucked into the programmed church or the institutional church or the consumer church. We want our lifestyle and our ministry to be rooted in the lifestyle and ministry Jesus modeled and taught us. We want to see the church flourish with beauty and impact. We want to see lives and families and cities impacted by the gospel. But often we feel caught up in a system. We feel caught up in a system and in a way of leading the church based on either how we were trained or on the expectations of the people. And we're caught up in a system that seems a far cry from what we read in Scripture. And so every once in a while, it's important for us to step back and look at how we're leading and look at how our churches are moving forward and ask some really hard questions. Challenge our presuppositions. And challenge our practices. Do they actually line up with what we see in Jesus' life? And do the hard and sobering work of comparing how we're living ourselves. Are we actually doing the following of Jesus as we see him living and modeling it in Scripture? Or are we just trying to train people how to follow Jesus and do it his way? We need to live it as we lead it. So I'm going to end there. That's verbatim, just the beginning comments of that opening session with all of those church pastors and leaders. And as I was speaking, I could tell it was connecting with all of them. I'm not sure how many of you are aware this morning as we just come together. But the mainstream church in our country or in the Western world is caught up in a system where the measuring stick of success is predominantly one of two things. And so we just need to be consciously competent and consciously aware. We're all a part of the church in some way. But as we step back and look at the big picture, as all of us are leaders in some way, we need to know what's the big picture of what's going on in our country and in the Western world with regard to the church. There are two primary measurements of success. And if you don't know this, you need to know it. The way people view success, number one, is based on size. The bigger you are, the more successful you are. And number two, the second measurement of success is if the people that you're leading feel taken care of and provided for, then that's success. So there are the two main criteria. And church leaders understand this. I have to make sure people are taken care of and feel cared for. And I need to make sure the church is growing numerically. And if at least one of those two things are occurring, then most people would say our church is successful. Now, if both of them are occurring, that's even better. Here's the problem. It's based on the notion that the church leaders need to make sure they deliver on those two things. Either deliver on the church numerically growing or deliver on the fact that everyone feels taken care of and provided for. And this is called a delivery model church culture. We're going to put this on the screen. And you're going to want to know this the rest of your life because this is what church leaders are coming up against. And you are a church, so you may not be a vocational pastor, some of you are, but you need to be aware of this. The delivery cultural model is the way the mainstream church functions. And it's dysfunctional. It's not healthy. So here are the premises. Leaders are tasked to deliver the teaching, the care, and the programs that bring people and retain people in the church. It's all about bringing in new people and retaining them. And here's the social contract. Here's the unsaid agreement. If the leaders provide adequately for me, I will attend, I will serve, and I will give. And those, I mean, there's the holy grail for church leaders. You get people to attend, you get people to serve, and you get people to give. And the more you can do that, you build on that, and you get more people to come, and you provide excellent programming, excellent teaching, excellent music. And by the way, the more excellent the teaching and the more excellent the music, the more people come. It's a sliding scale. The more excellent you can get at what you provide, the more people come to consume what you provide. Now, I'm being very crass here, but I'm just trying to give you a glimpse of what's actually going on. And here's the result. Delivery culture leads to dependency. Everyone's dependent on the amazing few. The amazing worship leader. I love the music. That's why I come. I love being fed. That's why I come. And make sure no one else does any of those things because they don't do it as well. And if you do, I'm going to go elsewhere. This is the delivery culture. And as I'm sharing this in the room, trust me, these leaders are thinking, oh my gosh, somebody help me. I'm caught up in this system. It's the way in which most churches... Now, let's go to the development culture, which is a very different culture. And we're going to look here in a few moments of how Jesus developed and created a development culture. Development culture is this. Leaders are to disciple everyday people so that they grow, so they learn how to help others grow, and be equipped to multiply new disciples. Here's the social contract that people are coming to. If the leaders disciple and equip me, there's still a role for the leaders. It's a different task, but there's still an important role. If the leaders disciple and equip me, I'll invest in others and take the responsibility for helping lead the church with them. I'm not a consumer. I'm not coming to get my goods. I actually want to take ownership. I want to lead. I just need to be equipped and trained. And here's the result of building a development culture. A development culture doesn't lead to being dependent on the few and the experts. It leads to empowerment. Now, the contrast. I mean, I'm creating these kind of polar opposites. The reality is that a development culture still has some delivery. And a delivery culture still has some development. So most churches aren't in completely one end of the spectrum. They're somewhere on the continuum. But there is a dominant culture. And it's usually a dominant development culture with some delivery or a dominant delivery culture with some development. The mainstream church today, which is caught up with the metric of success based on are people feeling cared for or is the church growing numerically as the success markers, is a delivery-oriented metric. And so as we're here today, and as you're here as part of being a leader, we're here because we're not going to just deliver the goods. We're here because we want to develop you. I mean, this is what we're trying to do at Grace Gathering, it's really not about Grace Gathering. I mean, who cares about Grace Gathering? To be honest with you, I don't really care about Grace Gathering. Now, don't tweet that. I care about seeing the kingdom expand and disciples being equipped and new people coming to faith. Amen. And that requires all of us churches to actually transition into a development culture and then work together, and amazing things can happen. It's not any church building their own kingdom or trying to deliver the better, excellent goods and services. Like, that's the old paradigm. That's the worldly paradigm. What we're going for here is something kingdom-oriented. And this is what Jesus trained us to do. I want you to turn your Bibles. We're going to look quickly. We don't have a lot of time. We're going to turn to three different passages. I want you to see this in Jesus' life and ministry. Go to Luke chapter 3. What does it look like for us as leaders, whether we're in vocational pastor ministry or we're leading a team or we're a participant on a team? What does it look like for us to live and lead like Jesus? Luke chapter 3, and we see Jesus' identity revealed. Says this in Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Here we see Jesus's identity revealed at his baptism publicly. And as we see in this passage, Jesus' identity is based on the unconditional love of his Father. Unconditional love. This was the opening of his 3-year ministry. Before Jesus did any ministry, the Father said, "I love you, I'm proud of you, and this is your identity. It's not based on what you accomplished." So many of us, and everyone in the room, struggles in some area with identity. And often we get our identity tied in how we look or what we achieve or other external things. And here at the very beginning, the foundation of life and ministry is based on our identity being rooted in the Father's unconditional love. Unconditional love. Which means every day as a follower of Jesus, every day when you wake up, before you do one right thing or before you do one wrong thing, God the Father says, "I love you, I'm proud of you." Nothing can change that throughout the day. No matter how many great things you do, no matter if you lead dozens of people to faith or you fall into some temptation, my love for you doesn't change. Amen. It's unconditional. And here at the beginning, as Jesus is about to set a culture, it is founded on this notion. And what we see Jesus doing is retreating constantly in his life and in his ministry back to the Father, praying, seeing what the Father's doing, joining him. It's rooted in an identity based on the unconditional love of the Father. Secondly, we see in Luke chapter 4, Jesus reveals his mission. And what he does is here, his identity has been revealed at his baptism. Now he's going to reveal his mission. He goes to his hometown after being tempted by the devil. He returns in the power of the Spirit, and he goes to his hometown in Nazareth. It's a small village. Most people know him. And all of a sudden, his identity has been revealed. He's God's son, and now he's going to reveal his mission. And we find in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 21, it says this, Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so his identity has been revealed, and now his mission is being revealed. And his mission is to bring forgiveness and freedom to the broken. And by the way, as we're following, living, and leading like Jesus, whatever his identity or his mission, and here we're going to look thirdly at his strategy, we're to be following in his footsteps. Because we get our identity in Christ, we get our mission in Christ, and we are to be getting our strategy in Christ as well. What was his strategy? His mission's clear, his identity is clear. How is he going to do this? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, "On one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." And so here we see Jesus' strategy. And his strategy is to build a spiritual family and invest in a few. Jesus wanted to reach the world, but you have to have a strategy with your goal. He wants to reach the world. How do you reach the world? Not by reaching the masses, by reaching the few. You reach the few, who then can train a few, who then can train a few. And we see these three areas, this upward dimension, this inward dimension, and this outward dimension, which is the culture and the life and ministry that Jesus models for us. And we are to do the same. And this is what I told those 100 pastors this week. Our job isn't to run the church. Our job is to live a lifestyle and do it the way Jesus does it, which is basically making sure our identity is secure. It's not based on the externals. Make sure that our mission is clear, that we're actually going out and reaching people and helping them experience forgiveness and freedom, and that our strategy must be clear as well. We're to build a spiritual family and invest in a few on the way. And this is exactly what Jesus did. I mean, if you pare everything back and you look at Jesus' life, and this is what he did for these next 3 years, and this is what he trained his disciples in. And so we have to orient our lives and our ministry around these three things. The challenge that we have, and we have to understand the challenge, is that we're living in a church culture that isn't modeled on this. It's modeled on delivery. And what we're a part of is something that God is doing all over our country. Churches are saying, you know what? We recognize that we're creating consumers. We're providing goods and services, but yeah, the church is growing and maybe growing by the thousands or the 10,000s, but everyone's dependent on the amazing few. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, as he was contrasting worldly leadership with spiritual leadership, at the Last Supper, at his most vulnerable time, when he's washing the disciples' feet, and he's saying, I'm about to be crucified, and all of a sudden, a couple of the disciples break out in an argument about who's the greatest and the best. And he says, you are not to be like that worldly leadership. And what is happening is that our church is run off metrics and success based on what the world says is success. We're not going back to Scripture and seeing exactly what Jesus' life and ministry is, and then reorienting our lives around Jesus' life. But it is happening. So we're going to watch this video, and then I'm going to close this first session down. We're going to have some kind of discussion about this. But this video, how many of you have heard of Francis Chan? Now, Francis Chan was caught up in the system, in the delivery system. It's easy to get caught up in it. And the church world looks at success and raises up churches that are doing amazing things with the delivery model and having all these people. And then he just came to the point where he said, I just can't do this anymore. Burnout and creating dependence. And he said, I'm not doing this anymore. And this video illustrates what's happening. And it is happening. It's exciting. It's exciting to get 100 pastors and church leaders in a room saying, I'm done with the delivery model. I want to develop people and do it the way Jesus taught us how to do it. Now, this video is a little long. It's 20 minutes, but it will keep your attention, and then we're going to close our thoughts for this first session. Let's watch this. So impactful and inspiring. I mean, Jesus is calling all of us, everybody in the room, every single person, to lay down your life and follow Jesus. And it's going to be very hard, and it's going to be very rewarding. But he's calling us to a life where our identity is rooted not in externals. Our identity is rooted in his unconditional love and what Jesus has done for us. We have a clear mission, and we are to be engaged in that mission of bringing forgiveness and freedom to the broken. And that we are to have a clear strategy. We aren't just to try to do this ourselves individually. We are to be attempting to build spiritual families where we're investing in a few and discipling a few along the way as we're doing this. Now, no one has arrived in this other than Jesus. But the question is, do we know where we're going, and are we taking steps, even if they're very small steps, to move in this direction? So here's the exercise that we're going to move to now. We're going to take a break at 10:30, so hopefully if you have to use the bathroom, you can hold it till 10:30. But here's the exercise. I want you to write this down so you know what the exercise is. I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. The first is in the area of your personal life. What are ways in which you're either attempting or you find it difficult to live this lifestyle? This is incredibly difficult. Our church cultures aren't set up to live this lifestyle, and our just everyday culture with individualism and busyness and everything else in our church culture makes it very difficult for this. So for you personally, how are you trying to step into these three areas, and what are the challenges you're facing? Let's just name them. So that's the first one. The second one is not just the lens of your own life or your own nuclear family, but the lens of whatever ministry you're in. Maybe you're a greeter, and you're just here on Sunday morning. He's like, how do you live this as a greeter? Well, what are just some small things? Maybe you lead a Bible study. Maybe you're in an accountability group. Maybe you're leading a missional community. Whatever it is, ask yourself, how are we trying to do these three things as we're trying to calibrate our lives around Jesus' life? And what are some of the challenges? Again, the goal here isn't we're going to make this big shift to this type of a lifestyle, even what we just watched in the video. But we can, over time, make incremental steps in that regard. And then as we look back, we think, wow, there's been significant change. So what we want to do is we want to have some discussion around those three things. And I just want to say to the Rebuild folks, as you're trying to do this within youth, within teens, it is super, super exciting. We have a teen group that meets at our house on Wednesday night. It started a year ago. Three teenagers who said, we want to lead in this way. Started with, I think, two or three first came. And here this past Wednesday night, we meet every single week. The three teenagers, we've met for a full year. The three teenagers have led every single Wednesday night. The Volkerts and I are part of that with them. We do some training outside of that gathering. But the Volkerts and I and Kathy and I, we've never led one of those sessions. The teens have led it every single time for a full year. Now we're at 16, 18. These are sophomore boys. Now we're at 16 to 18 sophomore boys that come on a Wednesday night. And just this last Wednesday, we've multiplied into two groups. And now it's not just three teens leading. Now we have six teenagers who are leading these two groups. And last Wednesday was our first time we had two. Again, this is empowerment. This isn't delivery. This is actually training teenagers to begin leading this lifestyle. And so I'm really glad that they have spiritual family. Now at 2 a.m. this morning, as they're all like still up last night at our house, and I could hear them, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I just wish they would have had a program, you know, 5 to 7 and be done. And so there's cost to it when you're living life together and so forth. But teenagers are able to really move in this regard. Us who are older, we're trying to make these types of shifts, but we can all move in the direction.